question for you guys. How many of you could see yourself doing some of those things and think, ooh, that would be cool? How many of you, come on, be honest. Yeah, I knew there was something going on. Ah, yeah. Okay, wives, how many of you wished your husband? No, wait, we won't say that. This series, guys, we have called Life of Valor. This was based on the movie Act of Valor. How many of you guys or ladies actually saw that movie, Act of Valor, about the Navy SEALs? Well, this is not a series about war or anything like that. It's about living up to a code of honor, about having a conduct for yourself, how you as a Christian live your life and the things that you should and shouldn't do. And that code, the Navy SEALs live by a code. There are things that it's an ethos. It's a thing that they absorb that code and they live by it no matter what the circumstances. And that's what this series is all about. No matter what the circumstances are around us, what's going on in our personal lives, anything that's going on in the world around us, that we stick to that code, that strict code of conduct. And I'm not talking about whether you do good or do bad or that. It's this internal belief that is so strong about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you that no matter what the circumstance, you remember that and try to do the right thing. Now, we're not always going to do the right thing. I know that. I don't do the right thing all the time. But we should aspire to that. We should try and do those things. We should try to live the life that God wants for us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It's called, today we call this battle call. God has a plan for our lives. And often our lives are in the midst of a battle all the time. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But before we do, let's just recognize God and honor him in prayer before we start, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for all you do for us, God. I just pray that throughout this series, God, that we'll learn to live by the code that you have set forth in your holy word, God, that we'll learn so many things, God, about ourselves even, that where we often may look the other way when it comes time to live up to that code, God. And I just pray that you'll help all of us to apply your word to our lives, God, and to help us to remember those things, and that your Holy Spirit will help us to remember things in times of battle that we need to know. And God, I just thank you so much for your son this morning, his sacrifice on the cross in our place, God, and that we lift him up and honor him this morning and just pray that your presence is here with us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, guys, we live in a very different community than what you see. If we were to show a video like this, say, back from the 60s or earlier, people would have been on their feet hooping and hollering and like, yes, yes. The thing is, our climate in America has changed. The way we view the military, the way we view all of that. I've got a quote here I want you to listen to. This is from General George S. Patton. He says, "Battle is the most magnificent competition in which a human being can indulge. It brings out all that is best. It removes all that is base. All men are afraid in battle. The coward is the one who lets his fear overcome his sense of duty. Duty is the essence of manhood." That quote sounds kind of foreign today, doesn't it? I mean, today, George Patton would probably be about as popular as Dick Cheney. I mean, he would not be a revered guy. But you've got to realize our climate has changed from when we were involved in world wars, from World War I, World War II. My grandparents were involved in that time period. They were growing up in World War I. Many of your grandparents, if you're my age, were serving in World War II, and then maybe your parents served in Korea or Vietnam. But the Vietnam War changed America's view of the military because of the conflict there and the disagreement about why we were there and those things. It changed the face of how we view war, how we view honor, how we view duty to the military, duty to our country. All those things got changed there. And I'm not saying all those changes were bad. We need to treat this seriously. We don't ever want to glorify war. I don't think that God wants us at war all the time. I think there are peaceful solutions to these things. And I think often, honestly, many of our causes of war are self-absorbed. It's because I'm looking out for what's best for me, and I don't care what's best for you. You know, this is I want to get my piece of the pie, whatever it may be, and I don't care what happens to you and your people. And so that's not a Christian viewpoint. But by the same token, we do need to protect our freedoms. We want to be free to worship Christ. We don't want to be under control like in the New Testament times where the Jews were oppressed by a Roman government and weren't really able to rule themselves. But you know what? The thing that amazes me, even in the New Testament times, how many times did Jesus come out and tell the Jews to overthrow the Romans? Never. Told them, this is your lot in life. This is where you're at. Take it and do my will. Do what I say to do. Behave like me. You know, and I think there's a lesson in that for us. If we were the examples we should be and we honor God as a country like we claim we do, I don't think anybody would have any problem with us. Honestly, if we were living Christ-like lives, does anybody in here have a problem with anything that Jesus did? Did you have any problem with anything that he did in his life? Did you look and say, well, you know, that just wasn't fair what Jesus... No. So if we were living like that, if our country lived like that, people around the world would be clamoring to be like us and see us as a shining example. But unfortunately, we don't live up to that. We don't do the things we should do. And so that's how all this climate has changed. And I just wanted to do this as an introduction to the series. Some people didn't think we're glorifying war or that sort of thing. But there's a core thing that comes out in wars and comes out in this code of conduct that the Navy SEALs so embody that we as Christians can learn from. We can learn something from this. And that's what my goal is for this series for this month. Plus, this being Father's Day month, we unapologetically do a little more guy-oriented stuff this morning. Of course, I love that. Some of you may not. But, you know, that's where my heart is for you men out there. And ladies, the thing that you can take home from this, it shows you what you need to look for in a man. It shows you what a real man should be like. And a lot of you ladies, sometimes I think you're getting cheated. You're not getting what you deserve. And I want you to look for that in your relationships and things as we talk about this. And most of these principles, honestly, apply to men and ladies. It's just we amped up the military theme a little bit because I knew you guys would like it. You can see yourselves jumping out of planes, shooting guns, driving boats, you know, all that cool stuff, you know. How many of you, when you were growing up, had a G.I. Joe? Oh, yeah. Did you notice that G.I. Joe got politically correct sometime in the 80s and he went and they shrunk him? He's like mini G.I. Joe. He's about this tall now and he doesn't have real weapons. He has like futuristic weapons that aren't real. You know, and it's, again, that change in climate. We grew up in a different time, many of us. You know, I was so thrilled. I went in Target the other day and unfortunately it was on clearance, but they had a full-size G.I. Joe with real guns. Can you imagine that? That some kid will be scarred for life playing with that, I'm sure. But, you know, that's what we grew up in, and it was a very different time. And I think we as Christians and we as a nation have lost a lot of that sense of duty. This quote from Patton, you know, I don't think he was so much glorifying war here, but what he's saying is when you're under pressure, when you're at a place you should be fearing for your life, there is something inside of you that kicks in, and all of a sudden you become a different person. You become the man or woman you should be. You have this sense of duty. He says, duty is the essence of manhood. That's something we as a nation have also lost, and we as a church, is manhood. Acting like men, being the leaders we should be. You know, I think, how many sitcoms or television series on TV do you see where the dad is the hero and he's a fantastic father, he's a great husband, you know, he leads the house, man, and everybody wants to be like him. It doesn't exist anymore. What was that? Yeah. The Huxtables was the last one. Yeah. Bill Cosby. You don't see a dad that's a real dad. He's a doofus. All men are screw-ups. They can't do anything right. They can't lead. You know, they're stupid. We don't need to be like that. And as the church, we've done it. When the church is portrayed, my favorite cartoon is what? The Simpsons. You all know the Simpsons. Well, Homer Simpson is portrayed as the doofus. And the only church-going guy in there is Ned Flanders. Well, who wants to be Ned Flanders? I'd rather be Homer than Ned Flanders, for crying out loud. My goodness, this guy, you know, sugar rolls off his lips when he talks to you. I mean, it's just like, how many men want to be like that? Can't we be men and women of God but still have some oomph to us? We can still be compassionate but have that inner drive to us. I heard a great quote from a friend of mine. We were on vacation a week or so ago, and I had breakfast with my good friend Chris Elrod. And Chris and I were talking. He said, I don't remember who the pastor was he was talking about. He said, but this was a great quote. He said, never let my Christian compassion be mistaken for weakness. That's a great thought. We don't need to be weak in our Christianity. Don't let your compassion be mistaken for weakness. Man, we serve an awesome, mighty God, and that's what we're getting ready to get into is talk about some of that. But I'm just trying to set all this in context so we realize we have kind of made the Christian man kind of laid back. He's kind of, you know, go with the flow. That was not the story in Scripture. That was not the story of Jesus. That was not the story of Apostle Paul. And this morning we're going to talk about that was not the story of David. Let's pick up our Scripture this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is verses 43 through 46. Now, what happens here? Let me set up this story. We have the Philistines have come to battle against Israel, and they're in this valley. It's got ridges on both sides. The Philistines on one side and the nation of Israel on the other. And what's happened? This big, bad Philistine guy has come out and he's challenged them. He said, bring out your best. Bring it on. If you can beat just me, if you can bring one man out that can defeat me, we'll be your slaves. Come and get you some. That's what he said. He's made fun of their God. He's made fun of their nation. He's just making a mockery of them. So do you know what the men of Israel did? Oh, shoot, I'm scared is what they did. They backed down from him. Now, here we are, a nation that is God's chosen people, has God on their side, can go into battle with the almighty creator of the universe on your side, and they wimped out. They backed down from him. They're like, ooh, he's too big. He's too mean. He's too skilled as a soldier. We can't go up against him. What are we going to do? Well, here's David. Now, let's get a little picture of David here. Did any of you ever grow up watching Rocky and Bullwinkle and fractured fairy tales? Our view of David is a fractured fairy tale. David was not this little 8-year-old boy with his little rock going like this. No, that's not who David was. He was tending sheep. You got to be pretty tough to be a shepherd to start with. We've talked about that here in the past in series. Shepherds were the rough and tumble people of that life. They lived out in the country. They were tough. Well, one of the qualifications for David, he killed lions and bears with sticks, okay? He didn't have a hunting rifle. He went out and beat them with a stick. If they come, he'd go, whap, whap, beat the lion, bear, whatever it was, and bring the lambs back into the fold and make sure they're safe and secure. That doesn't sound like a little kid, does it? So let's get that straight. This was not a little kid, but he was not experienced in the art of war. He was not a warrior. He was not a soldier. He was a shepherd boy. Well, he sees what's going on. He wants to go see what this battle's about. Now, all of you that have younger siblings and you're getting ready to go into battle and your young brother comes up, are you going to say, welcome? You're going to, what are you doing here? Get back. You know, you don't need to be in this area. Yeah, go back. Who's watching dad's sheep? What are you doing here? His brothers were not supportive of him. They were like, yeah, get away. You know, you kid, what are you doing? But Saul, the king, heard about this young man he was upset because Israel wasn't standing up for their God. He was upset. He was angered by this. He's like, somebody needs to do something. I'll do it. Like, what is this young kid that's been a shepherd, has never been to war? I don't care how tough you are. We saw the evidence here, and we'll talk a little bit about that. The Navy SEALs are training, intense training. I mean, stuff that most of us can't even imagine they go through. The rigors and the repetitiveness of what they do. They're trained soldiers. I don't care how tough you are. You don't send an inexperienced man into battle against somebody like that. Well, Goliath was the Navy SEAL of that day. He was trained. He was a killer. And he was big, too. He was physically intimidating. So, you know, what is this kid going to do? So they go, try. And Saul says, well, you can use my armor if you're going to go into battle against him. And David tries it on. And it wasn't like the picture we see again. This is not the 8-year-old kid, you know, wearing his daddy's armor and the helmet's too big and he stomps around in the big boots, you know, like dress-up time. No, what David was saying was, this armor isn't proven. I haven't used this particular armor. He said, I don't feel comfortable going into battle with this. I would rather have nothing than to have this to encumber me when I'm in battle. Well, that it was too big for him, that he's a little kid. It's just he recognized that you don't go into battle with something that's unproven. Good thought for us today. When we're in a spiritual battle, don't go in unproven. Don't go into that battle thinking you know it all and you're ready to do battle with the devil himself, because you're not. And you're going to lose if you go in with that attitude. That's where our story is set up now. David has done this. He's not going to wear the armor. It's just unproven to him. He hasn't trained with him. But he's still willing to go against him. And let's look here in our scripture now. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? He figures, well, heck, you know, kill lions and bears with sticks. We'll kill this guy with a stick. You know, it's good enough for them. It's good enough for him. You know, and a dog was in those times, anywhere in the Middle East, to be referred to as a dog is a very demeaning thing. Dogs were wild scavengers there. You know, they were not cute, cuddly pets to them. They were pests, really. They were, you know, they were scavengers. They roamed the streets wild. The closest thing I would have to us today would be the wild hogs and things that have invaded some of our areas. And hunters know what those things do. They come in, they root up everything. They kill off other animals. You know, they're just pests, and they've become a real problem. Well, that's the way dogs were here. And David's like, you're giving me the respect of a dog, young man. You know, who are you? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field. Man. In other words, I'm going to kill you, cut you up, and feed you to the scavenging birds. Now, at this point in time, I'm sure all the men of Israel are thinking, well, there goes one. He's going to be dead. Yeah, he's not going to last long. We're going to need, got a replacement ready. This isn't going to last long. Because, you know, here this guy, not only is he huge, intimidating, a skilled warrior, now David's gone and made him mad. Yeah, that's what you want to do. Make your enemy mad before you're going to get him real revved up and angry at you. So David is getting ready to go in. But here's what David said. Love this part of the verse. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down. That's bold. How about that, though? Do we ever go into battle in our lives like that? Why, no. We're more like the Israelites. We're like, oh, devil's going to get me. Oh, he's oppressing me. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's awful. My bills are piling up. And bills that we made ourselves that the devil didn't make, by the way. You know, devil don't come and get your credit card out and use it, just in case you all haven't noticed. He's never had his hand in your pocket. You did that on your own. So many things in life we do on our own. You know, I've got addictions and problems. Devil didn't get you addicted. You got yourself addicted. And that's where we as Christians need to call upon this same God that David is calling in and go into battle against those things and say, I'm going to whip it. And you're not going to do it on your own. So many times I've dealt with people that face addictions, whether it be money, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, relationship problems. All those problems are rooted in the fact that we're not trusting God to help us run our lives. We're trying to do it on our own, and we screw it up, and then we say, oh, please, Jesus, come help me. The devil didn't do this to you. You did it on your own. We all, by nature, are sinners and tend to do the wrong thing. Even we as Christians, we have a tendency to do what is best in our eyes for us, not what is best in God's eyes for us. And we need to get that straight. That's what so binds us up as Christians. I mean, but I just love this. You come at me with the sword and spirit. I'm coming at you with God himself. God himself is on my side, and we are coming to get you, and you ain't going to do nothing about it. That's what he's saying. He said, I am coming to get you. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got God himself right here, and you are defeated. Would our lives be different today if we took that attitude? You know, God's got a plan for us. He knows all the battles we're going to go through. What if we prepped like David did? David wasn't prepped as a soldier. He was prepped as a prayer warrior. How about that? You think David was praying right here? Oh, yeah, if he wasn't, he's crazy. You know he had to be praying because you see what came out of his mouth. He didn't go and challenge David himself, and that's the real difference I want you to see in this. This is great, this gung-ho stuff like in the video. Man, I love that. That's cool. You know, there's no doubt that many of us aspire to have that kind of lifestyle to say, oh, that's great. When you go into battle against Satan himself, none of that means anything. It's not of you. You are going to get knocked back on your rear end and trampled under him if you go against Satan head to head. You need God on your side. We are not doing the battle in our own flesh. We are asking God the Holy Father, Jesus his Son, and the Holy Spirit to act on our behalf against our enemies. That's what we're doing. We're not going and doing this on our own. We've got to get that straight in our heads. We've got to go out with that attitude because so often we have two sides of this usually. Is the defeatist thing, well, I just can't do anything. Oh, God, please help me. Well, God's not going to help you if you're not at least halfway into this battle yourself. You know, he's not just going to come and solve all your problems for you. So let's get that straight first. Secondly, the other one is, well, I can do this on my own. I don't need God or anybody. Well, that's going to be even worse for you. You're going to wind up worse than you started off. But let's look at some more things here about this prayer and type stuff. Look at Psalms 27, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. Wow. Psalms written by the same young man. This is what he's learned from these lessons. This is a lesson he's learned. God is going to protect me. God's going to take care of my enemies. And the problem is, we see all of this on a very finite day-to-day scale instead of an eternal scale. We look at our day-to-day lives, whatever goes right and wrong, is that's God's blessings or not for that day. That's not the way it works. Just because your day goes well today doesn't necessarily mean that God especially blessed you. If your day went bad for some reason, it doesn't necessarily mean that God's cursing you. We need to get that straight as children of God, as believers. We so look at, you know, this guy over here, man, he's really blessed. There are rich people that are dying and going to hell, and we would think they were blessed because of their possessions and the way life's treating them here on earth. We've got to have an eternal perspective about what is going on here, what the real deal is. And that's what David has here. David, you know, he was not a perfect guy. You know the story of David. It begins with defeating the giant Goliath. And one of the lower notes in it is he goes and sleeps with somebody else's wife and has their husband killed. And then God goes on to say that he's a hero of faith, a man after his own heart. How does that work out? You know, I can see the valor in this guy that goes and defeats a giant, you know, goes about barehanded with God on his side and defeats him, which is what he did, by the way, for the rest of that story. But how can you go and sleep with somebody else's wife and have their husband killed and God be pleased? How does this all go? It's repentance. It was the attitude of what David did after he messed up. Not that he messed up, because God knows we're all going to mess up. He tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of my glory. We all mess up. Now, some of us mess up more than others, okay? That's just a fact of life. But we're all going to mess up at some point in time. So when we do, the importance is how we react to it and how we take it to our Heavenly Father. That's the importance of it. And David went on for a little while, you know. If he had said, God, forgive me, I slept with another man's wife, I should not have done that, and tried to make that right at that point in time, David's outcome might have been different still. You know, God had a plan for his life. We can kind of divert that plan, though. We can start going around different ways that God doesn't have planned for us. So what did David do? Instead of confessing right then and there, he went and tried to cover up his sin. How many of us do that? And it gets worse and worse, and you get deeper and deeper into it. And so this is what he was doing. It took to the point that somebody called him out on his sin and said, you have done wrong in God's eyes. And he's like, oh, no. I'm had now. Somebody knows. It took that point. And then he did repent, I believe. I believe he genuinely saw. We didn't see him sleeping with somebody else's wife after that. When I talk about repentance, that's a change in direction in your life. He didn't say, God, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again. And 2 weeks later, he was sleeping with somebody else. Or a year later, or 10 years later. No, he changed a life pattern there. He realized that what he had done was wrong, and he changed his life because of that. But notice the two things in these first passages are about fear. We often fear the unknown in our lives. We fear what's going on around us. We fear the future. We just, all those things. And it can be, if you're raising a family and stuff, yes, it can be a fearful thing. You don't know what's going to happen. You're trying to provide for your family. You're trying to have a job. You're trying to make sure your children are educated properly, not only in the school system, but also in religion, in Christianity. You want to make sure they grow up to follow the path that you follow and all these things. And we get fearful of that because things don't always go right along the way. But what David was so stressing here was prayer. And God's protecting you. God has a plan. God has a battle plan for each of us, I believe. I believe God has already planned out our lives, but I do believe that he gives us enough free will that we can vary along that path and change some outcomes sometimes and not go in the direction we want to. You know, Paul, in his letters to the churches, often refers to running a race. Well, if you're running a race from here to there, the best way to get there and get to that goal is a straight line. Well, sometimes there gets to be a little roadblock there. Instead of trying to overcome that roadblock, we kind of either sit at it, we go around, we turn back this way. We do all those things that keep us from running the straight race that God has a plan for us. But let's look here in our next scripture in Jeremiah 29. This is what God says. He says, For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And let's go on to the next scripture as well, Philippians 1:6. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Good stuff. God has a plan for us. Okay, if the creator of the universe, who controls everything, owns everything, does everything, has all power, has a plan for us, and he said right here, it is a plan for good, don't you think we ought to trust him? Where we go wrong as Christians, we don't trust God's plan. We want it to be what we want. We want it to be now. We want it to focus on our current circumstances and God to fix that right now for me. Get this right. You know, that is not God's plan normally. God has an eternal plan, a lifelong plan that stretches out forever and ever and ever, that he's molding us into the person that he wants us to be. And he has, you know, and some of the things we have to do for that, we have to learn to step out a little bit. You know, there's a lot in here. You know, this talks about your faith. You know, I'm certain that God will continue this work in me. You know, you've got a future and a hope. All those things are based in faith. All those things are things that we need to be looking at and have faith that if we do step out and do something, that, hey, God has got our back. God is going to take care of us if we will do his will. If we will seek him wholeheartedly, as this talks about. And that's not just waiting until you get into trouble and saying, God, rescue me, okay? That's when we tend to seek him, is when things are going bad. That's living your life every day asking God, what can I do, God? What would you have me do? That's what he wants for us. And that's where we need that training. We need to know. We need to step out in faith and do what God would have us do. Now, sometimes the results to that aren't what we'd expect. Sean, can we roll our video there? We'll tie this in here. This is a little bit of a Navy SEAL training video here. This young man here has got his full gear on and some Navy SEAL training. We're getting ready to go in the tank here. There we go. Dude can't swim. And now he's screaming like a little girl. Now, does that look like... Now, help me! Okay, instructor has to pull him out. Okay, that looks kind of embarrassing. That would be my audition as a Navy SEAL. Did you hear what the instructor told him? He said, you were swimming for a little bit. That's real comforting. With all this gear on you, you've sunk to the bottom. The instructor's had to jerk you out of the water. You were swimming for a little bit. The cool thing about this is, I imagine that this guy knew he couldn't swim. But he did it anyway. He jumped out in faith, knew that somebody was there that had his back, and he went into that water. Now, I do not think that girlish scream you heard was the Navy SEAL's battle cry. I don't, help me. Now, how many times have us do that with God, though? Help me. Help me, help me, God, help me. You know, we've gotten in over our heads. And this ties so well in with our next scripture. This is Matthew 14. This is talking, Jesus has been out, and he's been teaching, preaching to the people there. And his disciples are out on a boat at the sea, and this is where this scene starts. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Well, that's going to freak me flat out to start with, okay? But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Well, in times of the New Testament, people were still very superstitious about things, and they flat thought it was a ghost, and you know, apparition, whatever, you know, they are totally scared out of their minds. What in the world is this walking towards us? But immediately Jesus spoke to them. I'm sure he realized that they were afraid and said, take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. And Peter answered him, he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out with his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I guess set him up on his rear end on the side of the ship, just like we saw in the video. You know? Now, here's the cool thing about that. We often focus on this part of Peter's life. Peter, you know, he's walked on water, but he's got his eyes off of God, and he's gotten scared. He's seen the, you know, the huge swell of the sea around him and all this, and his faith starts lacking, and he starts thinking, "I can't do this. Even with God's help, I'm not going to be," and he starts to sink. And so, you know, Jesus had to reach down, pull him up by the back, and plop him down in the boat. And we see Peter and his lack of faith there. Guys, that's not the story here. Nobody else got out of the boat. Exactly, Don. He was the only one that had courage and faith enough to take that first step out of the boat. Nobody else would even do that. He was really willing to risk failure to do something. That's where we as Christians lie. We are afraid to take that first step out in faith to do what God has for us because we're afraid we'll fail. We're afraid something bad will happen. We'll lose our friends. We'll lose our job. We'll, you know, if something bad will happen, if I start following Jesus, you know, if I really start living the life that he has for me, you know, it'll cause friction in my family. My family will think I'm a religious nut. All these things will happen to me because if I step out in faith and really act like a Christian, nobody's going to understand. God has a plan for you. It's not for bad. Do you think that if God has a plan for us, the creator of the universe, the Almighty that he is, he can't take care of your family problems, your job problems, your economic problems, whatever it is? You don't think God can take care of that? Is he not a big enough God to take care of those problems? Absolutely. If a young man can go into battle with God on his side and defeat Goliath, can we not defeat the problems in our lives today? God has a plan for us. The problem is we try and circumvent that plan with our own plan. Our plan usually doesn't work out. You know, we need to give it all to God. I wrote down these lyrics just a minute ago because I thought this was so good. See if I can find my note. With everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything? Everything. That means with my bank account, I shout your glory. With my relationships, I shout your glory. With my devotional time, I shout your glory. With my relationships with those people at work, I shout your glory. With everything, I shout your glory. That's how David defeated Goliath, because he gave it everything with God on his side. He gave his life up to God and said, "I'll go into battle against this man, this experienced warrior, and I'll defeat him with you on my side." We as Christians need to go into our daily lives with that same attitude. God, everything I give to you, all your glory. God, everything that I have is yours. If you will help me through this day with me on your side, God, I will defeat my enemies. I will put away the things that are wrong and do what is right, and I will work the plan you have for my life. That's what it's about. That's what this whole idea of the God having this plan is about. And it is a battle. It's a spiritual battle. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, about spiritual warfare a little more. But it is a spiritual battle. We do that battle, you know, not so much the people around us, but spirits we can't see. Things that we don't know are going on behind the scenes sometimes. Things that are against us that we don't really understand. We fight that. But you know what else we fight, I believe, as much or more than that, is our own flesh, our own desire to do the wrong thing. I think that's one of the hardest battles we face in life. But it is. It's a constant battle. It's things that we need to get a hold of and figure out how we're going to defeat those things that are oppressing us in our lives. Because there's lots of things. We've mentioned a lot of them this morning, anywhere from economics to, you know, whatever it may be. But we need to have faith in God throughout our battles. We need to have faith that God's going to take care of us. And we need to live a life that's worthy of living. I mean, how many, you know, you see these things, and I think sometimes, especially for guys, you see that video. Am I cutting out here? I'm off. One, two? Battery went dead, evidently. Here, just put me over here on this one. I can grab it.
All right. I'm
almost through anyway, so I'll just stand here. I'm hampered. I am tied down. I cannot stand here. Not, no, I'm good. I'm just teasing. What's got me? Have it done. You know, do you regret never jumping out of an airplane? You regret maybe never serving in the military, never being what a hero is defined as? You know, do you regret those things? Well, the thing is, it's never too late to get back on that path that God has for you. And that's what makes us heroes as men and women, is living the life that God has planned for us. Not so much that we jump out of airplanes and shoot guns and drive tanks and all this stuff, or superheroes like Captain America here. You know, what really makes us heroes in God's eyes is doing His will and doing the things He has for us and living a life without regret. That's a fantastic place to get to a point in your life and knowing I'm doing what God would have me to do. He's blessing my life, and I am satisfied in God and what He has for me. There is no better feeling than that in the world. All the possessions in the world will not make up for that peace you have in following God. And like this is, I think this is actually a quote from Tecumseh. This is from Chief Dave in the Navy SEALs movie. He says, "When your time comes to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives over again in a different way. Sing your death song and die like a hero going home." Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? Don't you want to, when you leave this earth, not have regrets? Don't you want to know you did what God would have you to do? And you can die peacefully looking forward to that prize in heaven. That's what Paul was talking about often in the letters to the churches, was running that race and your eye on the prize. The prize isn't here on earth. The prize is in heaven, eternal life with God, the creator of the universe. That's the prize and all the things He has in store for us there. And do you think if He says His plan for us is not for bad things, guess what? That reaches all the way from our lives here, as limited as they may be, all the way through eternity. That plan reaches that far. He has planned that far in advance for our life. That's exciting to me to know that an all-powerful God has a plan for me, and it's a good plan. It's something that's good for me that, gosh, once I'm in tune with God, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be something, you know, we often look at God's plan, and I don't know where this came from. We look at God's plan as a punishment. You know, if you really serve God, He's going to send you as a missionary living in an unair-conditioned hut in Nairobi. That's what God does to you. He makes sure you're miserable. Guess what? If you are a missionary living in an unair-conditioned hut in Nairobi, there's no place you would rather be. It's not that God punished those people and made them go to the mission field. They're stoked out of their minds about it. But guess what? It's just as good to be stoked out of your mind about serving God here in Chattanooga. There's lost people all around. There's people today that don't know Jesus in our community, where we work, in our families. They're all around us. God's plan is for us to share His word with them. How can we share His word if we're always fearful, if we don't realize God's plan for us? We need to get a hold of our fear, overcome it, give those things over to God and say, God, I'm going to do whatever you would have me to do, and I'm going to be the man or woman, boy, girl that you want me to be. That's what this is all about today, is us giving up our lives to Him to lead the life He would have us to live. And I think that's so important as a truth for us to realize, because of that good plan, there's no danger in doing this. This is for our benefit. You know, how many of you, you know, somebody said, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll make you rich. I'll give you all the comforts in life. Everything will be swell and it'll be a fantastic life if you'll just follow my plan. And it's a good plan. Well, how many people say, I don't know about that. I wouldn't want to. No. Well, I'm going to say, yeah, where do I sign up? Can you give me the application right now? This sounds too good to be true. On earth, here in our world, yeah, it usually is too good to be true, because there's a sacrifice probably you have to make that's not godly. May or may not be, but it's usually too good to be true. The fantastic thing about God's plan is it's not too good to be true, because it is true. You know, it's a fantastic thing to look forward to, is living a life honoring God, doing what He has for us. And guys, that's just what my prayer is for us this morning.
is that we'll look at guys in the band, if you want to get ready to come on up, I'll be closing out here. But yeah, I want us to look at what we have as Christians. I want us to look at the life we should be leading. And if there's some fear that you have in your life this morning that, you know, you're not worthy of doing what God wants you to do, that's not from God. That's from Satan. That's from your enemy. He wants to oppress you. He wants to keep you from doing what God has for you. He doesn't want you to have a good life of any sort. You know, God doesn't go after people that aren't Christians, Satan doesn't go after people that aren't Christians. That's not his concern. We worry so much about people outside of our faith and what they're doing, how they're acting. They're lost. They don't know any better. They don't have God's plan in their life. And Satan doesn't have that power over us as Christians. We have God. He's already defeated Satan. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he defeated Satan. It's over. That's the reason he said it is finished. That battle has already been won for us. So why in the world are we so fearful in our lives when our enemy has already been defeated? He doesn't even have a foothold in our lives unless we let him. So this morning, let's just pray about that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone here this morning. I thank you for this story about David and Peter and God, the courage they had to overcome their fears and step out and do what you had for them in life. And God, I just pray that as your people this morning, God, we will keep that in mind and not let our circumstances determine our actions, but let your will determine our actions, God, and what you would have us to do as a people. And I just thank you for everyone here this morning, God. And I pray if there's any here, God, that don't know the good news, the story of what you did, that, God, you sent your son to die in our place on a cross. He was tortured and beaten, God, and he died. He gave up his life for us and paid the penalty for the things that we have already done in our life and will even do in the future. But all that is paid and done. And God said, Jesus said, it's finished on the cross. It is covered if we'll just believe in Jesus, that he rose from the dead and that he took care of those things for us. We can be followers. We can be your own children. We can be adopted into your family, God. And you can be our Father, a loving Father who has plans for us that are just fantastic and good, God. And I just pray if there's any that haven't made the decision to go along that path this morning, that they'll come to know you this morning, Lord, and what Jesus has done for them. God, I just pray that you'll bless as the band closes out this morning and bless in all our lives and give us the courage this week to step out in faith and work through the plan that you have for us. For it's in your Son's, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.